Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We are located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're so glad you've tuned in. We pray that today's message is truly a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238. Or call us toll-free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Willie Mae Jackson shares the message titled, A Grateful Mother, The Elizabeth Story.
Thought you'd like to know all those nights you paced the floor, praying I will make it home all right, believing God that He would someday save my soul. Well, He did, and I thought you'd like to know. Thought you'd like to know all those prayers you prayed for me. Never one once fell to the ground. I know sometimes it looks like I was a million miles from grace. He answered your prayers, and I thought you'd like to know. Mama, I want you to know I love you. Please forgive me for all the times I broke your heart. In every tear you cried for me, drew me closer to being free. I wanna thank you, and I thought you'd like to know. I thought you'd like to know. I wish I could live my life again. If I could, I would surely make amends. But if I could help my brother a new life to discover, oh, I will. And I thought you'd like to know. You to know I love you. Please forgive me for all the times I broke your heart. In every tear you cried for me, drew me closer to being free. I wanna thank you, and I thought you'd like to know. For all the times I broke your heart. Every tear you cried for me drew me closer to being free. I wanna thank you, and I thought you'd like to know. I wanna thank you, and I thought you'd like to know. I thought you'd like to know.
Say, Mama,
Mama, Mama, you know I love you.
Oh, you know I love you.
You know I love you.
Oh, Mama,
Mama,
Mama, you're the queen.
Mama, you're the
love is like tears from the stars. yes it is. Say, mama, mama, you know,
mama, you know, I love you.
You know I love you, mama.
You know I love mama.
Mama, you're the queen.
Mama, you're
yes,
the
you
queen
are.
Of my heart.
Your love is like tears.
Your love is like tears
from the stars. Yeah, I want you to know.
Mama, I just want you to know.
Oh, that
love in you was like gold to my soul.
Oh, yes it is. Yes it is. Yes it is, yes it is. Loving you's like food to my soul. Yes it is, yes it is. Oh, yes it is, yes it is. 'Cause loving you's like food to my soul.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Mama, I have to make it personal. Mama, you're not here, but I still want to tell the world, I love you, mama. I love you. I had a good mama. I had a real good mama. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Before we say a word of prayer, and we just want to take just a few moments, if you will, with me, just a few moments, and let us recognize all the mothers that have gone on before us. Just a few moments of silence, and let's just reflect on them. Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God, once more again, we say thank you. Because you told us in your word to give thanks in all things, because it's the will of Christ Jesus concerning you. So God, we thank you. And especially we thank you for this Mother's Day. And as the Bible has said, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. Mothers may not be with us, mothers with us, but we will rejoice and be glad in it. Because you made this day. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, send your Holy Spirit, your Shekinah glory, fill this place. Hallelujah. Fill our hearts and our minds and our spirits, and especially today, so we would be receptive to your word. And when we hear your word on the day, on this Mother's Day, hallelujah. You said the word of God will not go out void, but it'll go out and accomplish what we're sent to do. So rest on us, Holy Spirit. Rest this word in our minds and our spirit. And we say to every mother that's here in this worship center, every mother that's in virtual world, we ask God to bless you and meet you where you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give God one more good praise. As you remain standing, we want to give honor to God and the Spirit of Christ today. And of course, we want to give honor to all of the mothers here. Do me one more favor, since this is our day, it's Mother's Day. And we want to just, all the men in the building, can you give all the mothers here in the worship center? Come on, men, let me hear you. All the mothers that's in virtual world, clap for them. Clap, 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 clap. Mothers, what an honor. What a privilege. What a pleasure to be a mother. And of course, we give honor to our senior pastor and our associate pastor and our assistant pastor. And we give honor to all the associate pastor, all of the elders and the ministers, the deacons and all the wives here, and to our praise team, our musicians. Let's give them a hand. We don't always recognize them. I call them the baddest band in the whole land. Yes, thank you so very much. And to all of you all that have grace to come out and to be in God's house today, to hear a word from God and to share time with your mother on today. And so I'll give you what God has given me through his word. Turn with me this morning to Luke, the first chapter, verses 39 to verse 41, the New King James Version. Again, Luke, the first chapter, verses 39 to verse 41, New King James Version, and it reads, "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah, greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." The title of my message this morning, I'm probably sure y'all have seen it on the internet and on social media, but the title of the message is "A Grateful Mother, the Elizabeth Story." A Grateful Mother, the Elizabeth Story. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I was reminded even at the 8 o'clock service when I was asking God to give me a message, because this is his word and you all are his people. And he reminded me, I have preached and teached on a lot of women in the Bible. I thought about even when I was able to deliver a word and about Deborah and how that it was into the hands of a woman. I was able to even teach and preach about Hannah and Peninnah, and she was the mother of Samuel. And you heard about, I preached and teach about Rahab's radical faith. A lot of women in the Bible that I had the opportunity to speak on, but never really spoke on this woman before. And we don't hear much about Elizabeth, because not much was written about her in the Bible. But when the Lord led me to this passage, I said, yes, let's talk about Elizabeth. So we're going to be talking about Elizabeth's story this morning. We're going to be talking about Elizabeth's story this morning. And you see, Luke, in the book of Luke, he took the privilege to write about Elizabeth. Now, Luke was writing to this gentleman named Theophilus. And you see also, Theophilus had the writing also in Acts. And Apostle Paul was writing to Theophilus. But Luke took this, which Luke was not an original disciple. He was not one of those 12, but he joined forces after the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to actually come together to be a disciple, to spread the word of God. And so he was writing to Theophilus. Theophilus was a Greek man, but Theophilus had funded the New Testament church, and he wanted Theophilus to know, I want you to get the right according word. I want you to get what Jesus really done on earth. And I want you to know you can have it the right way, so you can witness the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How many people know we need to witness the right way of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Not what somebody just told us, but really what you have read. Amen. And so we're on this journey here at Bible Way. We're on this journey here at Bible Way. We're on this grateful journey. How many people are glad to be on this wonderful, one word, grateful journey? Grateful, grateful. So I took it upon myself to come up with my own definition of grateful. And this is what I got from grateful. Grateful, and the anthropology of gratitude is to examine how thankful we are. Culturally, we express, negotiate, reinforce, and reciprocate our spiritual and moral obligation toward each other. A grateful person is a thankful person. Can I say that again? A grateful person is a thankful person, and a thankful person is a grateful person. How many people, you don't have to stand, but how many people are really grateful? How many of y'all are really, really grateful for what God has done for us? We are so grateful for God that he has given us such a wonderful salvation. Amen. Because I heard the Bible say the wages of sin was death, but the gift of God brought what? Eternal life. I'm grateful for my salvation. Amen. How many people are grateful that God is a healer? Oh, yeah. And the Bible has declared that he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of his peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Amen. I'm grateful for the healing of the Lord. The medicine can do what they can do. The doctors can do what they can do. But there ain't nothing like when God heal your body and touch. I'm grateful. How many people are really grateful? Grateful for God's provision. Hallelujah. The Bible said he supplied all of our needs according to his riches and glory that's in Christ Jesus. I don't need Oprah's money. I don't need Bill Gates' money. But I got a man, hallelujah, that has the whole world in his hand. Amen. And he is Jehovah Jireh. And he's going to supply all of my needs. Let me step back and tell y'all a little testimony why I'm so grateful. Now, Darrell is I call him my husband man. He can give me some things, but he can't give me everything. Amen? Because he provides for me as a husband, but I got somebody that I don't even have to ask, because the Bible said, I heard you before you asked. See, I'm grateful, I'm grateful, I'm grateful, I'm grateful. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful. We have lost some people. And some people have left us. But I'm so grateful. I know a person that said he will never leave me. And he will never forsake me. I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere. I'm grateful. Hallelujah. Before I get to Elizabeth's story, I got a story. I am so, so, so grateful. Let's give God another praise, because we're on this grateful. On this grateful journey. So today is one of the most celebrated days in the world, Mother's Day. Therefore, I have chosen the biblical hidden figure for us to explore. A grateful mother, the Elizabeth story. Listen to Elizabeth. Elizabeth was the daughter of Aaron, the wife of Zechariah, and the mother of John the Baptist. Both Elizabeth and Zacharias were faithful and religious and righteous to God. Despite a long life of barrenness, she remained faithful and eventually conceived in her older age. Elizabeth reminded me of Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith. And you know your faith is supposed to be working all the time, because it's now faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. She also reminded me of this scripture taken from St. Matthew 7:7, when it says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Come on now. How many people know you can ask God? Mm-hmm. And you know what I say all the time about the scripture? It's a scripture of promise, because it reassured me if I ask. Because see, I know who I serve. I serve a big God. So I can ask for some big things. Can't I, Dara? I can ask for some big things. And so, if you ask, it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Amen. How many people know the Bible said God got an open door? God got some open doors, mothers. God got some open doors that no man can close. Amen. And then the other scripture that reminded me of Elizabeth is Luke 1:37. And this is something right here. She had to believe this. For with God, nothing will be impossible. For with God. Come on, not just anybody, but for with God, nothing will be impossible. There's nothing too hard for God. Amen. And the Bible says the only thing you got to do is stand on the word of God, believe it, because I heard the Bible saying to me right now, if you woke up right before me, I would not withhold no good thing from you. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Remember, mothers, God has no respect of person. What he has done for others, he would do for you. Because Elizabeth had to hear too. She had to hear this throughout her life and throughout the stories that was told in the Old Testament. She had to hear and be reminded of Sarah in Genesis 12, verses 17 and 23. She had to be reminded of Sarah, because Sarah was barren. She had to be reminded of Rebecca in Genesis 24, chapter 24, verses 24 through 28, because Rebecca was barren. Then she had to be reminded of Rachel. In Genesis 29, chapters 29 to verse 35, to chapters 35, she had to be reminded of Rachel because Rachel was barren. And then Hannah, in 1 Samuel 2 and 5, she was also barren. All these women were barren. But to be barren, listen to this, was primarily reference to a woman's inability to conceive a child. Our children, it is often portrayed as the condition reversed only by a divine intervention. To be barren can only be reversed by a divine intervention, illustrating God's power in seemingly in an impossible situation. Barrenness did not start with Elizabeth in the Old Testament. Listen to this. The Hebrew race did not become a free nation very quickly. It took them almost 200 years before their population grew to triple digits. The slow growth rate results from a very specific reason. But Abraham, come on now, but father of faith, Abraham set the precedence. His wife Sarah could not bear children. How was God going to make him into a great nation if he could not even produce the first child? A barren womb, however, is not a present huge obstacle for God. If God created the human race out of nothing, come on now, if God created the human race out of nothing, then he certainly can do the same for the Hebrew race, and God did. Abraham and Sarah, in their old age, gave birth to Isaac, and when Isaac grew into manhood, he married Rebekah. But the same problem existed. Rebekah also was barren. God answered their prayers and gave them double for their trouble. He gave them twins, Jacob and Esau. Years later, when Jacob married Rachel, you guess she was barren. But God is faithful to his promise. Eventually, Jacob, 12 sons, though not all by Rachel, the descendants of these 12 became the 12 tribes of Israel. Is there anything? Come on now. Is there anything too hard for God? If he can take nothing and make something, I'm pretty sure he can take that bank account when it looks like 0.00. Come on now. You've been there. You really didn't have nothing. You've been there. You really didn't have nothing. But somehow, somewhere, hallelujah, Jehovah Jireh, hallelujah, the God that provides. He took something from a little something over there. He took something from a little something over there. And you still ate a meal. Hallelujah. You still dressed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God can take nothing and make something out of barrenness. It's not too hard for God. We had some barren places in our lives, right, Mother? Oh, yes, we saw some barren places in our life. As God has granted us to be mothers, what a privilege and what a pleasure. But we had some barren days. We had some lonely days. We had some frustration days. We had days when we think that we could make it. We had some nights that we cried all night long. We had some days where we could not see our way. We could not see our way through how we were going to make ends meet. But there was a God that you called on, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you knew if God did it before, he can do it again. Same God right now, same God back then. God say, I'm the God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. How many mothers know, hallelujah, we serve a God of the impossible. Amen. Let's give God a praise for the God of the impossible. The God that would take nothing and make something out of it. Hallelujah. Can you understand Elizabeth now? Listen to this. Listen to this. A grateful mother. A grateful mother would say, thank you, Pastor, but God. Oh, but God. That's what a grateful mother would say. You know, mothers, we don't have those times when our children, the children that we raised, but sometimes when they go in between some ages from, look like from 12 to 19, what happened? And then you have one or two more children, they was raised in the same house, and one looked like they got it and the other one didn't. What happened? What happened? And that's why you got to call on the but God. I remember a little testimony. My son was out in the world, and I told him, and he was bang-banging, shoot him up, selling drugs, put on the Facebook, and he was out there in the world, but you know, I kept praying. I kept praying. I kept believing. I kept praying. And I told him one day, I said, baby, if you go behind the bars, if you choose jail and you go behind the bars, I'm still gonna love you. Hallelujah, because I believe God could do the impossible. Because, see, I got a promise from God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you about that promise a little later on. Look at Genesis 18 and 14. And I love this verse, too, because it reminded me of God again. It said, is anything too hard for God? At the appointed time, he told Sarah, I will return to you according to the appointed time of life. And Sarah, you shall have a son. When you got a promise from God, you can take it to the bank. Amen. Oh, yes, you can. When you got God's word, you can stand on it and you can trust it. A grateful mother. The Elizabeth story had about three people, three amazing people I saw in this story. First, it was Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary. Elizabeth's story represented faithfulness during a long wait on God's promises as she bore the stigma of childless for many years. She played a critical role in validating Mary's experiences and preparing the way for ministry for two people, really, John the Baptist and Jesus. Now, her husband, Zechariah, whose name means the Lord has remembered, is Elizabeth's husband and John the Baptist's father. Zacharias, a priest, received a special announcement in the temple. Gabriel, the angel, told him that he would have a son. I hear the Holy Spirit when God tells you something. Amen? Not what man tells you, but when God tells you something. Hallelujah. And let me say this too. You can remind God what he told you the first time. And don't forget about what God promised you the first time. It's all right if you go back and ask it again, but he heard you the first time. That was for somebody. He heard you the first time. He heard you the first time when you made that request unto him. Amen? Because they were very old, she doubted God. Gabriel made him mute until the child's birth and prophecy was fulfilled. But God promised Elizabeth a son and prophesied that his name would be John. Restoring Zechariah's speech and breaking the silence, the prophecy called the benediction. John the Baptist was also the third amazing person in this story. John the Baptist came into manifestation. John the Baptist, John's calling was foretold by the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 40 and 3 states, a voice proclaiming in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wasteland a highway for our God. Can I say that again? There was a voice that was proclaimed in the wilderness, the way of the Lord, to make straight in the wasteland a highway for the Lord. John was related to Jesus. He lived as a hermit in Judea wilderness most of his life, clothing himself in camel's hair, living off locusts and wild honey. Until the word of the Lord came to him, he began to preach and baptize, preparing for the coming Messiah. The word of God always go forth before God can do anything. When you send the word out, like I said in my prayer, the word will go out and it will not go out void, but it'll go out accomplish what we're sent to do. Mothers, when your children are going whichever way but loose, put a word on them. Oh yes, put a word on. I put a word on my children as they were growing up. They didn't even know it. I used to put scriptures in their drawers. Oh, yes, I did. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I did. Oh, I put a word on them in a minute. I used to tell them to come on, come together, come down to my house. They say, for what? I got some food for you, and I got to anoint you with the oil. Oh, I put a word on them. I put a word on them. I put a word on the word of God. When you put the word of God on your children, and you stand on the promises of God, and you tell your children, they will be saved. They will be sanctified. And they will be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah, you tell your children that at an early age. Oh, let's even go farther at an early age. Hallelujah. When God has impregnated a woman in her womb, and like Elizabeth, and the child leaped, you put your own hands and on your own body, and you call that child blessed. Hallelujah. You call that child blessed. Hallelujah. Even before that child gets here. Hallelujah. Prepare the way. Prepare the way. In Mark 1 and 7, it states, and John preached, saying, there will come one mightier than me, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to stoop down and to loose. Indeed, baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Amen. John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. In Matthew 3, 13 and 15, it states, then Jesus came to Galilee to John at Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am not the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus, it should be done, for we must carry out what God's require. So John agreed to baptize him. John the Baptist was imprisoned and beheaded for preaching repentance and baptizing with water, preparing the way of Jesus Christ. Amen. Look what Elizabeth was carrying. Elizabeth was carrying a blessing. Elizabeth was carrying the promise. Amen. Let's go back to our text. Let's go back to our text. In Luke 1, verses 39 to 41 in the King James Version, I want to read it again. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judea and entered to the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Mothers, in our text concerning Elizabeth's story, her cousin Mary revealed God's power and purpose for her life. Mothers, when you allow to have a child to come into your life, wherever it was by natural childbirth, adoption, godparenting, mentor, the child is a blessing. Virtual audience, mothers, remember, take a snapshot of that. Mothers, remember, the children are blessings. Yes, 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 yes. Ah, I told the 8 o'clock service, let's reverse the curse. Let's reverse the curse. Because see, the wages of sin was death, but the gift of God brought eternal life. So for every mother that's got a child or got children or even an adult child, let's reverse the curse. If they're not saved, let's say it today, we're going to reverse the curse. They are saved. Come on now. How many people want to reverse the curse? My child is saved. My children are saved. My adult children are saved. Oh, it's some mothers that's listening to me this morning. Oh, your children are not saved. Your child might be saved. But let's praise God. We're saying they are saved. Amen. They are saved, amen. They are saved, amen. Oh, y'all not believing in God? I don't hear you. My child is saved. My children are saved. My adult children are saved. Amen. Some mothers out there, I see they are agreeing with me. They are saved. You got some children out there, mothers, that don't even try to come to church. Come on now. They don't even try to come to church, but they know the way. They know the truth and they know the light. Yes, and I say in the name of Jesus, I declare and I decree that my child will come to church. My child will be in church. My child will come to church with me. Amen. How many people believe in God? There's nothing There's nothing too hard for God. Let's reverse the curse. Some of our children, maybe our child, even our adult children, their bodies may be racking with pain. They may be experiencing some kind of infirmity or some kind of disease. I had somebody text me back at the 8 o'clock service when we did the altar call. She said her daughter had fibroids that were big as fists. But she understood, as I said and I preached and I teach about our children, our child, our adult children are healed. And I want to prophesy it. I want to put it out in the atmosphere. Whatever infirmity, whatever disease that your child, your children are experiencing, your adult children, I say in the name of Jesus, I'm getting ready to put a word into the atmosphere, because the Bible said he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of his peace was upon him. And by his stripes, my child is healed. My child is healed. My child is healed. My child is healed. Fibroids got to go. My child is healed. Autism can't live here. My child is healed. Hallelujah. Put the word on it. Put the word on it. Put the word on it. Hallelujah. Because your children are a blessing. Hallelujah. In again, Elizabeth received the power of God and was filled with the Holy Spirit to recognize when the baby leaped, he was a blessing. Mothers, if you're out there here in the worship center, hallelujah. If you're out there, mothers, on virtual world, in order for you to recognize that you have purpose and power to raise these children, you need to be saved. You can't raise children, especially in this world. No, not in this world. If you're not saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot raise a child properly in this world. How many mothers want to agree with me? You may can tell them something. You may can even give them some advice. But if you don't give them godly advice, amen? And mothers, let me say this too. Stop telling the children what to do all the time. Why don't you just live it? Come on. Because a lot of them come back and tell you, I cannot hear what you're saying for what you're doing. I cannot hear what you're saying by looking at you for what you're doing. You say one thing, but you do another thing. Come on, mothers. You trying to tell your children don't have sex before marriage, but you out there cussing, smoking, and drinking. It don't work that way. It don't work that way. You got to live it. In order for your children to have an example, you are their first teachers. Amen? Amen. Let's go on. Mothers, remember your children are a blessing. You have the power and purpose of God every day to care, to cook, to clean, educate, and train your children in God's power and purpose. Mothers, you still have the influence on the lives of your adult children. Let me go back to this, because I use these three words a lot, and I call them like curse words because people say, don't talk about me like that. Mothers, you have the responsibility to care for your children. Yes, yes. And a mother has a responsibility to show love. You know what? I can look at a mother and I can tell when she loves her children, because when those children come around their mama, I have to tell my boy, get off me. Because we have the responsibility to care for them, and they know the care is coming out of love. I have to tell my sons all the time, I got one husband. But they think I got the second husband, they think I got the third husband. But I got one husband. But I can tell they care for me, because you know what? I love them and I showed them love. I cared for them, I sacrificed for them. When you know a mother sacrificed for their children, you are caring for your children. There was a lot of times that I had to put my education on hold because I cared for my children. There was a lot of times I had to put my ambition on hold because I cared for my children. Because, see, my first ministry was to God, to have a proper relationship with God. My second ministry was to my family. And now, because I cared for my children and I love my children, and now my children can raise up and call me blessed. And now I can look at my life and not say that I live the best life, but now I can say I live the blessed life because I cared for my children. I love my children. Hallelujah. And then mothers, we got to cook for our children. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We got to cook for our children. And we just can't take them out to McDonald's and give them French fries all the time and give them a happy meal. Give them a happy meal at home. Cook for your children and put it into the four food groups, all right? Cook for your children. Cook for them. Cook for them, amen? Now, I have to say this. I don't have any little children anymore. I have adult children. But when I do cook, Pastor, when I do cook, when I do cook, I do call my adult children and tell them to come and get some food. But cook for your children. And another C that we should do, mothers, we should clean. Oh, yeah. Because I know this younger generation, you know, that's a different story. But we should clean for our children because a clean house is a healthy house. Amen. Now, when my adult children come back to my house for care, for cook, they come to a clean house. Oh, yeah. They come to a clean house. And we should educate our children. Train your child up in the way that he should go. Let's go to this. I'm sorry. Let's go to this. In Jeremiah 23:19, it says, "You will seek me and find me. And when you seek me with your whole heart," that's why mothers, we can care, we can cook, and we can clean for our children, and we can educate our children because we're seeking God. Elizabeth received not just one gift from God, but two. God's power, God's purpose was granted to her. The baby leaped as she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Mothers, the Holy Spirit, again, mothers, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives us the power and the purpose to raise your child. Power and purpose, again, I will say it again, to care, to cook, to clean, to educate and train the child. In Proverbs, now this is the promise that I stood on for many years. And I said this prayer over and over and over and over until it got down into my heart. Because the Bible say the word of God that I have hidden in my heart, so I won't sin against God. This is one promise, mothers, that you can take to the bank. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, "Train up a child. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from that." Let's give God a praise. That's some kind of promise. And God knows I stood on that promise. Every time it would go left, I say, "You got to go back right." Because I remember the promise. I remember the promise. I remember the promise. They will not depart. They may go out there. Hallelujah. They may be in the wrong relationship, but I remember what you told me, Lord. They will not depart from it. They will not depart from the training. They will not depart from the training. They may choose, hallelujah, some wrong decisions, but I stood on the promise because I did my part, and I did my part with training my child up in the way that he should go, and I reminded the Lord, he got to come back. He got to come back. He got to be saved. He got to work the gifts that you have given him. He got to give you glory. He got to honor you. Hallelujah. I reminded the Lord each and every day. And you know one thing I did too? I did not only just pray for my two sons. The Lord told me 1 year, and mothers, you can take this too. He told me 1 year, stop praying for your two sons. He said, "I want you to pray for other sons." And so I said, "Lord, what you want me to do?" He said, "I want you to pray for other sons." He said, "I want you to take 31 days And I want you to pray for every male child that you can think of for 31 days. Don't think about your other, don't think about your son. Just only put those other male names in your prayer chamber. And when I did that and the 31 days were up, I saw the clock turning in their life. I saw them coming back to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I saw they came back to their daddy and their mom and say, Lord, I'm ready to work for you. And mama and dad, I remember what you told me, that you would be working with you all in ministry one day. And I can stand flat-footed today. And I said, the promise came true. My son is a pastor. My other son is the CEO. And he working side by side in ministry with me and his father. I tell you, if you stand on the word of God, hallelujah, don't get weary. Mothers, don't get weary in your well-doing, because in due season, hallelujah, you will reap. You will reap. How many people believe in reaping? You will reap if you faint not. I believe in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mothers, listen to this. Train up the child to be intentionally dedicated to instructions and sharpen a child's character early in life. Hallelujah. Early in life. Hallelujah. You introduce your child, plant that seed of salvation in your child early in life. Tell them about God early in life. They may want to hear it. They may don't want to hear it. They may not be understand. They don't understand it. But plant the seed early in life. Tell them Jesus Christ, hallelujah, is the resurrection and the light. Hallelujah. Tell them early in life. Focusing on moral and spiritual individual guidance, it involves tailoring their education as a child's unique gift. Instilling godly wisdom, not your wisdom, but godly wisdom, and disciples so they will adhere to the righteous path as an adult. Amen. 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 Let's give Elizabeth's story a round of applause. But now we got a story. Amen. We got a story as mothers. We got a story as mothers. As I conclude this message, we're going to see what I got up, and I pray that these lessons can adhere and obtain to you today, mothers. A grateful mother, the Elizabeth story. And the first lesson is, mothers, you got to understand and receive all God's promises. Receive all God's promises. Don't premature abort any promise that God has given you. Amen. And you, how you premature abort any promises that God gives you? With your mouth. Don't speak anything over your children. Come on now. Don't do that. Don't allow your children and let them know. Don't allow your children. Tell them about those relationships they don't need to be in. Amen. Yeah. Receive all the promises of God. Because in 2 Corinthians 1 and 2, it says, for all the promises of God are in him, yes and amen, to the glory of God through us. God got a lot of promises that we can obtain, amen. It's 66 books, and I'm going to get everything that the Lord has promised me. I don't know about you. I want it all. I want it all. I want to remain in the overflow. Oh, yes, Lord. I want to remain in the overflow. Number two, the lesson two, mothers. Believe God with all your mind, heart, and spirit for your child. Believe God, hallelujah, with all your heart, with all your mind, your heart, and your spirit for your child. Because Proverbs again says, 22 and 6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he grow old, he will not depart from it. And Numbers 23 and 19 says, For God is not a man that he should lie, neither is the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it, and will he not do it? Can I say that again? Has he said it, and he will not do it? Or has he spoken, and he will not make it good? Whatever God has promised you, mothers, hallelujah, God will make it good. You can take that into eternity. You can take that promise into eternity. God will make all his promises good. And the third lesson, mothers, always remember, listen to this, always remember, tests and trials of raising a child are for the testimonies of God's glory. So when you go through with your children a little bit here and a little bit there and a lot there and a whole heap there, remember, it's just a test. It's just a test. Tell the enemy, it's just a test. It's just a test. It's just a test, because see, I'm gonna get a testimony. And really, your test is just not for a testimony for you, but it for somebody else. Amen, amen. It was just a test, and now you got a testimony. A grateful mother, the Elizabeth story. Let's give God a praise for God's word. Amen. On today, that it's being Mother's Day, on today, there's a wonderful song that the choir is going to, the praise team is going to softly sing. As the Lord was giving them me this message, he gave me this song. And the song is very familiar. It was written by Douglas Miller. And the song says, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. Mothers, yes, it has not been easy. Amen. Can I hear some amens? It has not been easy. Every day has not been a bed of roses. But the song says, through the storms that keep on raging in my life. And sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day. You been there? I've been there. Still the hopes that lies within is reassuring. As I keep my eyes upon the distant shore, I know he'll lead me safely, that blesses a place he has prepared. Listen to this. But if the storm don't cease, if the storms don't cease and the winds keep on blowing, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. Amen. Will you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. On today, a grateful mother, the Elizabeth story. We want to make a Clarington appeal with the altar. And y'all can sing it softly. Hallelujah. We just want to make a Clarington appeal with the altar call. And the first Clarington call that the Lord has instructed me to do this morning is for mothers that are not saved. There's a mother in virtual land. There's a mother here in the audience. If you're not saved, because that's the only way that you can really raise a child properly in this world. Come. If you want to receive the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on today, come. That's the first Clarendon call. Come. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And we ask that all the women clergy, all the female clergy, come and help us while we make this altar call. Anybody want to come to Jesus? Come. Don't be ashamed. Come. Praise the Lord. Come.
Raging in my life.
Hallelujah. Anybody.
And sometimes
any woman, any mother.
Tell the night from day.
I haven't been the mother that I need to be. Come.
Still
to make a recommitment unto the Lord. The second Clarendon call is for mothers and your child is not saved. Come to the altar. We want to pray for your child. Please come.
I know
it's some mothers out there that's been praying for their children. They're not saved. Come to the altar, because we're going to believe with you that their child is going to be saved. Come. Come and bring your petition to the Lord. I've been praying for my child. I believe in God that my child is going to be saved. Hallelujah. And clergy, while you're helping me minister, clergy, while you're helping me minister, clergy, stop. clergy, raise your hands too if we need to be in agreement that your child or your children need to be saved. You can still help me minister, okay? Yes, just be in agreement. But any other mothers, praise the Lord if your child's saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, because I believe God is going to manifest himself, hallelujah, in your child's life this year. How many people can believe in God with me with that? This year, I've been praying a long time. Hallelujah. I've been asking for a long time. I believe God. And so the third clarity call is for the mothers that your child may be afflicted with any kind of disease, any kind of infirmity that's going on in their bodies, that you want to stand in the gap and pray for your child. Because our children are blessings. Our children are blessings. Any mother standing in the gap. Hallelujah. It could be an adult child. Come on now. We're going to believe in God. For these three clarity calls. You know why I did that? It's because on this Mother's Day, we had 8 people to get baptized. And guess how many children got baptized today? 3 children between the ages of 9 to 11. 3 children got baptized. Let's praise God. Amen. God is still doing a marvelous work.
You have been listening to the worship service of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off Interstate 77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services right here on the radio. We are also streaming live on our website at bwcar.org, on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, and on YouTube. Our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you missed any of our services, or if you just want to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place an order for a CD or DVD of today's sermon titled A Grateful Mother, The Elizabeth Story, please call us at 803-776-1238. Reference sermon number 05-1026. Again, that telephone number is 803-776-1238, sermon number 05-1026. Tuesday, May 19th at 7 p.m. in the sanctuary, join us for the final Resurrection to Pentecost midweek service with our guest, Bishop Michael Blue. Join us at 10 a.m. on Sunday, May 31st for one combined morning worship service at Bible Way in the Worship Center. It's all part of our Family and Friends Day celebration. Right after service, stay for a fun-filled day on campus with food, games, music, horseback riding, and more. Bring your family and friends and celebrate with us at Bible Way. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by clicking the link on our website at bwcar.org, or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to the number 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina, 29290. Please do not mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. We thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.